Our first speaker is Mr. Eugene Bird. Mr. Bird is president of the Council for the National Interest. As former counselor of embassy in Saudi Arabia, and after having served in Jerusalem and several other Middle East posts for a large part of his career, Mr. Bird has gained a unique perspective on the Muslim world, including Muslims in America. He has also followed the peace process from Washington and in the field since 1993. Mr. Bird?
Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. I want to say, first of all, the Council for American Islamic Relations and CNI really welcome you here. This is the first time that we have co-sponsored such an event on the Hill, our Capitol Hill hearings. This is the sixth in a series of 10 that we plan before and just after the election, all related to the Middle East and election 2004. I also want to mention Grant Smith of the Institute for Research Middle East Policy, who has been instrumental in helping us to arrange this, we'll look forward to working with him again on some of the further seminars later this year. I want to mention that the seventh one will be held on July 23rd on Capitol Hill. We are not sure ever whether it's on the Senate or the House side, and it will be related to the plank for the Middle East policy of the Democratic National Convention, an alternative plank, obviously, because the plank will probably be written by that time. But we have some delegates coming, and the Boston Convention comes just after that. The Middle East is going to be the center of the election in 2004, we're quite sure, particularly if the economy continues to improve. It's not just Iraq, but it's also the Israel-Palestine, Afghanistan, and the fight to contain terror. We have in 2000, the American Muslim, eight organizations got together and said we ought to vote as a bloc, our people. There are about 1.5 million voters that came out for Muslims Muslim voters who came out in the year 2000. They were spread across the country, but they were also in some very, very key states, as we'll see. Distribution was 78% went en bloc for George W. Bush. It undoubtedly helped Bush get into the White House, particularly in Florida, where some 64,000 votes went for President Bush. An interesting sidebar to this is that about 35%, or a little more, 36%, of the Muslim voters were first-time voters. And in many of the polls leading up to the election, even afterwards, they were not counted because they were not seen as likely voters. Unless you've already voted, you don't become a likely voter, we discovered. The other point I'd like to make here before turning to the other speakers is that the change as a result of the 2000 census in the battleground states that you see here, Bush gains across the country 7 electoral votes if he takes the same states that he took in the year 2000. I think that's a very interesting, because it isn't the numbers of voters, it's the number of electoral votes that count here in America, as you know. And when you look at the distribution of the Muslims in ethnic terms, you see that 27% of them are African Americans. Those African Americans outside of the Muslim vote usually vote 80-90% for the Democrats. They're very consistent, and the recent polling indicates that that's going to be true this time. We don't know how many of the 27% African Americans among the Muslims voted for George W. Bush last time. We suspect it's not a high percentage. Maybe, Nihad, you can add something to this. Next. We're sorry that neither the Bush nor Kerry campaigns could come today. The reason was very easy to find out. They don't really know how they're planning to get the Muslim vote this time, but it's for sure that it's going to be very different from last time, in that Gore sort of ignored the Muslim vote right up to the last moment, and Bush courted it. The courting has already begun. We know some of the details, as you can see, and it's a question of who's going to be able to promise the most on the issues that affect Muslims, just as it is for other ethnic groups. With John Kerry, you can see that he also is courting the Muslim vote. Again, we have no clear indication of what's going to go into the foreign policy plank of the Democratic Party, and that, I think, will be somewhat critical to the Muslims. So we may not know until September, when both Republican and Democratic conventions are finished, exactly how well the parties are doing in terms of competing for the Muslim vote, that is, the two parties. We have two other parties represented here today, if he makes it, which he promised to. I talked with his handler last night, and he said, Ralph Nader said, he was very enthusiastic about coming. Finally, I'd like to point out that the Supreme Court decision yesterday does change what the Muslims are seeking, what a lot of people interested in the Constitution are seeking. Sandra Day O'Connor was certainly a key person in electing George W. Bush. You remember the vote 5-4 in the Supreme Court in 2001, or 2000 rather, late 2000. This time, she's on the side of not against the administration, and it is interesting that this is being interpreted by many as being a total victory. It isn't, because they only specified that there had to be an appellate system, and the appellate system might end up in the military courts in Guantanamo and elsewhere rather than the civil courts. We don't know yet. But for sure, the Congress is being blamed for not clarifying the due process clause of the Constitution in terms of the present struggle against terrorism. Thank you very much.